Have you ever sat down and just began to ponder and to think about the mind of God? It's not long before you realize just how limited our minds are. But that's the starting point, to be able to realize the limitations of our minds. But the answer that we have in Christ Jesus, that the Word says we can begin to really experience the reality of the mind of Christ. And it opens up a most incredible journey for us as children of God to really begin to go beyond the limitations of human intellect and to move into God's wisdom, God's understanding. Remember when in Isaiah 11, when you see the prophetic word concerning Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God will be upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the counsel, the Spirit of might and understanding, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, etc. And so you see that the Holy Spirit is so awesome in enabling you and I to be able to go beyond the natural. And so that's what we want to look at a bit this morning as we learn more and more on how to have the mind of Christ, as we learn more and more, as we've been going on the Wednesday, on how to hear the voice of God, to recognize the voice of God, as we learn more and more on just to go beyond the natural man's understanding and wisdom and to really live as a spiritual man, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that's our growth as we're busy looking at freedom and our journey of freedom, etc., as we've been going on in this year. Because sometimes our mind is the mind that keeps us in a jail. and God is busy just releasing truth to those strongholds, those barriers. We get to understand what the Spirit of God is saying. Because the mind of Christ is free. It's not caught up in any human kind of stuff. It's sinless. It's perfect. Just look. That's why start to look at the mind of God in creation and you say, wow, God. Thank you. We're going to grow a little bit more now. And that's what we're up to. So Father, I want to thank you for the miracle of us being born again. The miracle of us becoming this new creation in your Son Jesus. The miracle that you've given to us that we can participate in your divine nature by the Holy Spirit. The miracle that by your Holy Spirit we can get to know your deep thoughts, your understanding, your mind, so that we can have the mind of Christ. And this morning is back to that pure childlike faith, to actually receive what you have given to us, to actually receive what took place when we got born again, and just to live in that simplicity of this pure God faith that you have given us, to live in the grace that comes through Jesus Christ. And we want to thank you as you keep on helping us to step into the freedom in Jesus, Father, and to live by the Spirit and to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And this we want to thank you for you helping us. Father, you're a good Father. You know how to father us. We are your children. And what a joy to just rest and to have that pure childlike faith and accepting your fatherhood in helping us here in our journey on this earth. And this we receive because of your Son and through him. Amen. Amen. Just to recap quickly, last Sunday we were just busy looking a little bit on how the Holy Spirit imparts and manifests and demonstrates the reality of the kingdom of God. And when we're looking at the kingdom of God, we've got to look at Jesus Christ the King and the life in him. So it's not just about his rule. We've got to see the reality of the manifest, or if we take the rule, how does joy rule? How does life rule? How does the life of Christ rule all things? How does his wisdom rule all things? So if you want to stick to the normal definition of the kingdom of God, the rule of Christ, we've got to look at Christ and experience the life. What is the atmosphere in Christ Jesus? What is the life of the Spirit? How do we live in the realm of the Spirit? And this is all part of what God is helping us as we grow up, as we mature in Christ Jesus, as we get established more and more in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here, just to recap a little bit, most of us here hopefully have experienced a moment when we were trapped, we couldn't save ourselves, we know that moment, and that moment when truth became real to us. See, what is faith? Faith is divine persuasion. So when the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, the mighty power of God is at work in our lives, and the Holy Spirit communicated truth, whether it was through someone or something that we read or dream or encounter with Jesus, whatever it may be, but we knew because there's divine persuasion that this is absolutely true. And we believed and we received. And at that moment, what took place? We received the Holy Spirit. God put His Spirit in us. So right from the very beginning, that what took place. And we know in Jesus' teaching in John, again, this is just for those that are listening on the internet, etc. And we see over here, as Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor. So the incredible love of God, the incredible work of Jesus, the love of Jesus, that He went, He made a way to deal with humanity, to deal with all that sin did. And now in Him, we come out of the Adam nature, we're in Christ nature. And because of that, now the Holy Spirit is able to come and dwell in us. Before, it wasn't possible. This is the reality of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Holy Spirit. I will put My Spirit in you that will move you to obey My word, etc. And so all of that took place. So you and I, when we got born again, we received the Holy Spirit. I'm emphasizing this because it's going to be important when we start to look now at the mind of God. In Romans 5, verse 5, and hope does not disappoint us because God poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given. So all of this is the grace of God. He has given us the Holy Spirit. We simply received because we believed. That belief was because of divine persuasion that we knew this is now the absolute truth, whatever the revelation of Jesus was in that moment when we got born again. But we've been looking at, let's go quickly, Ephesians 1. Again, just to see this reality, keep on just giving it to us. In Ephesians 1 verse 13 and 14, we read over here, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. And once again, we heard the word of truth. We were fully persuaded that this, what we're hearing is God's truth. And before it was maybe just words or someone else's religion. But at that moment, we just knew that we knew this is God's truth. And what took place when we heard the word of truth, of the gospel of your salvation, having believed, and we simply believed because of the incredible grace of God, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance and the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise and glory of His, to the praise of His glory. So we became God's possession, purchased by the blood of Jesus. Okay. Now we go to another scripture quickly, and that's the one we often look at in Galatians chapter 3. So in Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to just read again verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was already portrayed as crucified. So the revelation of Jesus Christ. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Okay. And this is so crucial for us as children of God, because it's easy for us to stop living by the Holy Spirit and to move back into anything else that we're adding on. So here we see how Jesus, Paul is writing over here. Would like to learn just one thing. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? And in Galatians, when Paul speaks about the law, later on when we maybe do a series through Galatians, you will see over there that he speaks about the basic principles of this world and is referring to religion, the ABCs of any form of religion. And he's saying over there that if you're following the law of the Jewish law, for instance, it's the basics ABC, and that's the same as a pagan reality because you're bypassing Jesus Christ. So any form of religion, you're bypassing Jesus, and Christ has no benefit for you. Okay, and that's what in Galatians, a lot of the teaching that Paul is speaking is referring to that. And he goes on and he says, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing if it was really for nothing? And does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard and then consider Abraham? And when Audrey was speaking on Wednesday about the inner workings, to recognize the inner workings when God speaks, here's a good example that you might be able to identify in your own life, that when God spoke, there was this inner working of this real pure divine persuasion that what I'm hearing is the absolute truth. And that's how we began our Christian journey. And this is how we are to continue keeping step with the Holy Spirit. And this is why hearing the voice of God plays a major role all the time. Hearing, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Okay. But we want to open it up a little bit this morning to see some things that take place that may be preventing us from really experiencing more and more of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So in Zechariah, let's go back to the Old Testament. In Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, famous scripture when there's a word of God for Zerubbabel, and he goes, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says Lord God Almighty. So straight away you see the truth about the human ability, the human wisdom, the human might, and God says, no, what I'm going to be doing is not going to be done by human wisdom, human might, human ability, but it's going to be done by my might, by my wisdom. You see, the word power, and a good way of understanding power, the dunamis power, is the limitless ability of God. That's what we have as children of God. That's how we got born again. God's limitless ability to bring us life, to take us out of sin, and to bring us into His Son, Jesus Christ. And so here we're starting to see something about the Old Testament concerning a prophecy about what was lying ahead when Christ Jesus comes. So there's a natural wisdom, a natural might, but there's a spiritual reality. We are no longer just natural people. We are now spiritual people. Okay, so this has a huge impact on our lives. So we can operate as a natural man, human wisdom, human understanding, or we can grow up and we can go beyond the limitations of natural and we can start to grow more and more in understanding how to live with the spiritual wisdom, the spiritual understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's our journey as we continue this morning. So that's the reality in Zechariah. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, again, we've spent quite a bit of time in the years in the scriptures, but just to refresh over here. Yeah, we all know that there's division in the church. There's fighting. I follow Paul, I follow Peter, you know, there's all this division in the church. And now Paul is addressing a lot of the immaturity, a lot of the worldliness, because this born-again believers are living as a natural man and not as a spiritual man in Christ Jesus, the new creation man. That's why 2 Corinthians, in Christ, you're a new creation. See, because, so the book of Corinthians is dealing with the immaturity. It's dealing with the worldliness of the children of God. That's not who we are. And he's saying, no, this is not who you are. This is who you are in Christ Jesus. And that's a lot of what's taking place. That's why in the communion, he has to deal with the fighting and all that's taking place over there in the book of Corinthians. So the body of Christ is still very worldly. And Paul is helping them, giving truth for them to grow up. And so we read here in verse 17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." So once again, we see the contrast over here. I can share with you from human wisdom a lot of stuff, but he says, but that's not what Christ has called me. I speak a wisdom from God, because I do not want the cross. I do not want what Christ did on the cross, his death, his resurrection, his glorification, to be emptied of God's unlimited ability. You see, and that's important. That's why we read there, like in Romans, that the gospel is the power of God for salvation, the unlimited ability of God to salvation. And that must inspire us when that truth becomes, but that's the absolute truth, the inner working of the Holy Spirit birthing faith in us to believe. So when we pray for unsaved people, we're starting to take off our natural mind of the limitations and we're putting our trust in the limitless ability of our awesome God who came to seek and save those who were lost. See, that's part of moving out of being ground bound, as we always used to speak, and to start to really understand, wow, God, nothing's impossible. Because God has birthed this faith. It's his faith that he has put into us. And we're walking and we're living in this incredible faith of God. And so he carries on and he says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but for us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So he has a key for us to be able to live as a spiritual new creation person in Christ Jesus. Here we've got to see the foundation is what Christ did on the cross. It's Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, who he is, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and now the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. For Christ is the wisdom of God and the limitless ability of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we heal. In the name of Jesus, we cast out demons. In the name of Jesus, we live and move and have our being. See, the limitless ability of Christ Jesus who lives in us. Awesome being a child of God. See? And so the Holy Spirit is helping us to just begin to grasp more and more of this miracle of you and I being born again by this incredible love of the Father, his ability. And so we're living more and more what it is to be sons and daughters, what it is to be a child of God as we just grow in the truth that comes from the Word of God as the Holy Spirit makes it known to you and I. And that's a huge shift from struggling in our own abilities and struggling in our own efforts to begin to really enter into the limitless ability of God. That's why grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. Grace, again, God's incredible ability, God's involvement in our lives that helps us in every given situation. Have you now and again just stopped for a moment and you think back? Listen, let's see the involvement of the Holy Spirit in my life and just begin to look back to see, wow, Holy Spirit, you were ministering there. You helped me to believe. You helped me to think differently when everybody else was thinking like that. You made me think far bigger and far greater things and not bound by despair and hopelessness. You didn't allow me to go into that despair and hopelessness. See, the Holy Spirit all the time, the ability of God. We have received the Holy Spirit because we simply believed. We continue into our day today. We continue into tomorrow tomorrow. Simply believing, receiving Holy Spirit. Thank you today. You are all the wisdom and all the might and all the ability of God. Thank you that you're living in me. Thank you. And it's a faith receiving all of these incredible aspects of the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives. And then he carries on and he speaks about, you know, the difference between the human wisdom and man and the God wisdom. And then he goes on in chapter 2 and he says over here, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Again, the demonstration of the Holy Spirit's limitless ability. It's pretty awesome, this. And how we go, continue, and he says over here, we do, however, speak of a wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of the age of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. So this is the privilege that you and I have now. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for they, if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Simple faith. Simply, Lord, you are revealing to us what you have prepared for us. Simple faith. Nothing added onto it. God's persuasion. God, you have prepared something. Thank you. I receive that. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, as I just listen to you, you will guide me into all the things that the Father has prepared for us. Simple, pure God faith. Nothing added to that. Travel light, but heavy with the glory of God. Be filled with the full ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's our desire. That's what we're growing into. And then look what he says here. And this is going to be an important truth. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And look at this verse. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? Can you see the connection with our mind and our spirit? Important. Then he carries on and he says over here, except the spirit within them. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. And this is what we speak, not in words taught in human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, and he cannot understand them. Okay? And then he carries on, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man, so here we see verse 14, we're speaking about the unspiritual, the natural man. Verse 15, now he starts to speak about the spiritual man. You and I are born again believers. So the natural man cannot understand the spiritual truth because their spirit is still dead. Their spirit has not been born again by the Holy Spirit. So they cannot think. That's why the natural man's desires will always be to gratify the flesh, the fallen nature. No matter what they try to improve that, they cannot do that. Important. And we can see that in management kind of thing because of all the manipulation and all that kind of stuff. It's because that's stuck over there. Now, a child of God is in a situation that is not stuck over there. Because the child of God, the spiritual man, spiritual woman, spirit is alive with the Holy Spirit. And so now the mind is able to be connected to the Spirit of God and to your spirit that's alive. That you can understand spiritual truths and vision and way forwards and solutions that God has to be able to bring about my kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Different. So he's helping us to grow from just operating in the natural, however important that is, to be able to live. And he's moving us to be able to grow into the, as a spiritual man, to get the spiritual understanding so that we can live well on the earth with his wisdom, with his ability. So we don't get caught up when circumstances are going that way and our mind goes into what ifs and all that kind of stuff, and we stay in the reality of the truth that we have received, because our spirit knows now. Our spirit is alive with the Holy Spirit, and our spirit now can begin to have the understanding of the mind of Christ. That's the privilege that you and I as children of God have. And that's pretty powerful, to be able to really be able to navigate in this world that we see so chaotic. So when the rumors of the war and all those things that Jesus warned, we have a spiritual truth that all of these things, guess who's in control of everything? See, and we're beginning to understand more and more of how to live free from all those fears, free from all those doubts. And then, so he says here in verse 15, the spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who knows the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, one more scripture in Romans chapter 8, where there's a lot there about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We have received the Holy Spirit. His ability is operating. He's ministering in us. He's doing all the changes that's taking place in our lives. And then in verse 5, let's go to verse 4. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, the natural man, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The realm of the kingdom, the life of the kingdom of God. Our mind can experience that. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. And those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. And he carries on. But in that verse 5, what's important there? Remember in 2 Corinthians, who knows the mind of, except the man's spirit within him? So here, this phrase here, it's a beautiful phrase because it's saying over there, mind is set on. And what it means there is that the mind is anchored onto something. So here the natural man, the unsaved man, the worldly man, mind is rooted and anchored in that fallen nature. That's the reality. Satan has blinded the minds of the unbeliever. The minds are rooted in the fallen nature. Okay, that's its foundation. That's the way the mind will think all the time. Okay? It's rooted there. It's established there. The Spirit of God comes and he shines truth into this fallen nature. And suddenly we get born again and life comes into us. Now, the spiritual man, the born again believer, our mind is anchored in our new nature. It's anchored in the spiritual nature that we have received. And that is why we're able to think differently. If Christ didn't do the miracle of this rebirth, there's no way that we could think differently because it's anchored in that fallen nature. We are pretty privileged people. See, The miracle of being born again. The miracle of what it is to be this new creation in Christ Jesus. The miracle of accepting by childlike faith, the old has gone, the new has come. You see, it's just that, when Paul speaks about put off the old, put on the new, that's what we're doing. We're simply accepting, wow, God, this is truth. I'm not going to think like that anymore. This is who I am, and now I'm going to think like this because there's a truth within me. My mind is connected to the truth in my spirit, and I'm going to think differently, and I'm going to now start to live like that. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Okay, Romans 12. So this is part of our, for me today, what the Father wants to share with you and I, that we can take hold of this and to start to practice. So when we find our minds are going into despair, hopelessness, we find our minds starting to become doubtful and moaning about this and moaning about all those kind of things, then we stop and say, no, but am I still trying to live with my mind rooted into that old habits of my old nature? Because that's now it's a habit the way we always think. Or is it now rooted in the reality of who I am in Christ Jesus? And let me now take every thought captive and make it obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's His mind, it's His thoughts. And the Spirit is helping us to know His mind. Awesome. This is, opens up such a potential for us to be able to say, oh God, let's go for it. You know, there's so much that you want to take us into that we can grow in really beginning to know the deep things on your mind by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, you've made this possible for us, what you've done, that we can get born again and saved. So we want to celebrate the goodness of God, the love of God. We want to celebrate the miracle of us becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. And it goes on, and it was God who did it all. If you want to celebrate Him as we have communion this morning, and just rejoice. So you can understand why in Galatians, when in chapter 5, when Paul is speaking to the church, and he says, listen guys, if you live like this, and not by the Spirit, that's how you're going to live. But if you live by the Spirit, this is the reality. This is the life of the kingdom that you're experiencing here, but also here. The peace, the life of the kingdom in this mind. Okay? And that we can grow into daily and daily. So then Paul, again, in second, back in, into the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 now, he goes and he says, but church, I can't speak to you about spiritual truths because you're still so worldly. And he says, by this time you should be teaching, you should be doing this and that, but you're still on the spiritual milk and that. There's still division amongst you. There's still fighting amongst you. That's the condition. So remember the days of church government. The division, the worldliness of it all over there. And then that's what takes place because it's a worldly, natural mind and not understanding. Steve will know at the time when we said, listen guys, we're going to just start to have our leaders meeting. It's going to be a spiritual leaders meeting now. We'll start to really, Jesus, what are you wanting to say? And that was, oh no. And that because of the immaturity of not having revelation. You see, they believe what they believe, but the Holy Spirit is helping us to have more revelation as we're growing so that we can receive it by simple faith and just grow up in Christ Jesus to be established in Him. Amen. Yeah. So let's have communion, and again, you come and help yourself. If you want to minister to some folk, you're welcome to minister. If you want to ask questions, welcome as we continue. Father, thank you again. It's such a celebration this morning of your incredible involvement, your grace. Father, I think you're stirring within us such possibilities of growth for us to be able to, oh, I don't want to be limited by my own human abilities, but I want to step into the power of your Holy Spirit. I want to step into what you did on the cross, Jesus, and the victory that you brought to mankind. We want to step into this grace and truth that comes through you, Jesus. And we want to thank you. So we celebrate you, Lord Jesus. Father, we celebrate the way you sent your Son to save us. And we just want to give you the praise and the glory as we thank you and celebrate you this morning through your Son, Jesus. Amen.